We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, back here on Sports Talk. We welcome in now Jeff Nowak, WWL Odyssey Sports Digital Producer Content, Inside Black and Gold podcast as well, part of our sports team. Jeff, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. We actually just finished recording today's episode. It was a good day to record because so much happened. And that'll post tomorrow morning. So look for that. Sure.
So tell us about Inside Black and Gold, you and Steve Geller.
Yeah, so it's kind of in process. You know, we're figuring out the best way to do it. But basically, it's publishing two episodes a week. And we're kind of compiling a lot of the audio that we pick up from the players throughout the week. You know, we're out at camp practice every day, so it's a good spot to kind of relay and get into topics that, you know, might not make sense to write a whole story about, but they're good to have a conversation about. And we've had a good time doing it so far, and got some good feedback. We did a live stream of the show today on YouTube, and that was pretty popular. So we're going to keep doing it. We're going to see what we can build it into.
Check out Jeff's day seven observations. And those observations, Jeff, it's online for you, by the way, at WWL.com. Jeff, the skirmishes and the ejections from today kind of stole the show and wrote the headlines.
Yeah, I mean, the first couple days we had the dust-up, you know, on Monday with Trevor Penning and Peyton Turner, and then yesterday you saw it with JT Gray and Trevor Penning. Today it was Trevor Penning again with Malcolm Roach. And, you know, the first 2 days you could kind of write it off as like, okay, you know, it's football. Today, it got a little beyond that. You know, anytime you see guys getting sent off the field, that's just – it's a distraction that you'd rather avoid. And you could tell in listening to DA after practice, he was none too thrilled. We heard him giving it to the players on the field, and he was going to talk to Penning and Roach afterward. And I have a feeling there's going to be some attitude adjustments in that D-line O-line battle.
Well, you know, the only thing I like, though, Jeff, is that the offensive line at least had Penning's back. You know, it's like, you know how, like, Penning's off on an island? And whether right or wrong, whoever, who you think, who started and all that, even though you're on the same team, you know, when you have these fights and you get a bunch of guys and they're just pushing and shoving all each other, that's one thing that if you're an offensive lineman, I'd be discouraged if I'm a quarterback and I'm looking at that. If you don't want your quarterback in there, but if the other lineman – don't go back up Penning. And then the same thing, the other D-line going back up Malcolm Roach. So, you know, and all this pushing and all that, because you might say, well, aren't y'all on the same team? Yeah, but it's just competing and there's no hard feelings. So at least it seems like I saw the O-line had Penning's back compared to maybe the first couple of fights he had.
Yeah, and one thing me and Steve were talking about was like, hey, if this had happened in week one, you know, or like in an open practice where the guy who was mad at Trevor Penning was the opponent, we would all be applauding. We do that right, to CJ right. All the time when he gets the Bears receiver to get himself ejected for throwing a punch, right?
Right.
So you kind of have to – you don't want to train that out of him because, you like, if this is an opponent, suddenly it's like, yeah, you're getting in their head. That's what you want. That means you won that rep. You know, and then that's the other thing is, you know, you can only block to the echo of the echo of the whistle if you won the rep and you're still blocking when the whistle is blown. And, you know, I think that's – more than anything, one of what's changed this week than last week is Trevor's actually winning some of these reps, and that's when you get the opportunity to block someone into the turf and maybe make them mad. So, yeah, I think it's going to be something that we have to watch. But, you know, we knew this going in. This isn't a surprise. We knew this was good. This is the guy that Trevor was. He's a mean guy, and clearly
on the football field,
it's going to be an adjustment.
He's got a nasty streak to him. Jeff, Bobby and I were talking about this. I just think, yeah, okay, they're going to have a conversation with him, sure, you know, about, I think it's also him being a rookie and not really knowing how to practice yet, because believe it or not, there is, Bobby, you can attest to it, right? There's kind of an agreement, like, hey, this is how we're going to take this rep.
Yeah,
you're like a brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, that was the term you kind of, you know, brother-in-law, and it's kind of like almost like a union practice, you know, but it gets to the point where you have to know when to turn on and off.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to understand this is basically a little bit more than a walkthrough, but you can't be going full speed. You know, when you have those type of, you know, it might be on certain days and all. And I think Trevor's going to learn how you practice, because you don't want to hurt one another because it's a long season. So when that's going to come out. But right now, no, you're competing. So it's a lot closer, the intensity of the practice right now, like when you have a run drill or something, even more than you would during the season. Because during the season, then it's more like positioning. Make sure, your technique, your hand placement, and your footwork and all that, and then actually winning the battle.
Jeff, I guess what I'm trying to drive at is the Saints have to be careful now, because you don't want to dial it back too much to where he's not as aggressive, right? I mean, you got to try to find a way to harness that aggression and use it at the right moment.
Oh yeah, and I mean it's something that you definitely don't want to train out of him. Dennis Allen after the draft said something along the lines of, if a dog doesn't bite when he's a puppy, he's not going to bite when he grows up. And you know, he's biting now. The interesting thing to me is, you know, the last couple of days you get kind of passive. It's like, yeah, the padded practices are supposed to be a little bit more intense, and the first couple maybe they got a little bit, you know, out of where they were, the defensive players wanted them to be. Today wasn't in pads, you know, and I'm surprised to see it got that intense, because, you know, when you're not in pads, I think there's kind of an understanding. It's like, yeah, okay, we obviously aren't going to hit each other full speed. And that's just I'm interested to hear from Malcolm Roach down the road, because we heard from JT Gray today, and he didn't seem like it was anything he was thinking about. We talked to Trevor the other day. It didn't seem like it was really anything he was thinking about. So I expect we'll keep hearing that, and it's just going to be something that we look back at. It's like, oh, yeah, remember that?
But. Now, Jeff, looking at the offensive line, I thought it's imperative, or I think it's imperative, I should say, going forward, that, yeah, I don't know, we have to have some luck with injuries because we were snake bit last year, but also us setting the tone. The reason why I bring that up, I'm looking at the Saints offensive line last year, used 11 different starting combinations in 17 games. Now, look at the end result. Was it 3.7 yards per carry average that fell more than a yard below his career, that being Alvin Kamara. So you look at Alvin Kamara and how he's our workhorse. You know, we got limited his carries and all that, but I mean, there's no reason, if the offensive line is doing their job, that Alvin Kamara shouldn't average 4.7 instead of 3.7 yards a carry. And look, the impact player that he was, you look, whether it's a pass receiving running back or actually running the ball, I know Alvin's going to want to bounce back, because he finished the season with career low totals, only 47 receptions. Well, I look at Alvin because you know he's going to get that yak. I'm saying he should have 75 to 80 catches. And I think Jameis is aware of that. And yard receiving, he had 47 receptions, 439 yards. No, that is something that, even though he's not a receiver, you know, we talk about all these receivers in the passing game, that Alvin, I think those numbers, come on, I'm not saying you got to double them, but it should be more like, instead of 439, say about like 739 or even 800, and having close to 80 receptions. But I think that's going to be significant from the get-go. We set the tone against Atlanta. That the offensive line, that, you know what, they know we're running the ball and it doesn't matter. We're still going to be productive. Then if you do that, boy, I talk about play action working and then the passing game, because then you're truly keeping teams off balance.
Yeah, and I think what you're seeing with Ryan Ramczyk so far in camp is indicative of, like, this is a team that understands that it's a lot harder to run the ball when you don't have your offensive tackles. And last year they didn't have either offensive tackle. And we saw Ryan get a rest day today. We've seen Landon Young work into a lot of those first team reps throughout the first week and a half of practice. And what Dennis Allen said today was basically, yeah, we're just trying to be more, you know, strategic for how much work he's getting throughout camp and throughout practice. And, you know, that's aimed at keeping him on the field. You know, it's really, yeah, it's never that complicated when you don't have your tackles. It's going to be a hard life for a running back, and it was. As far as the receiving, yeah, I think Jameis knows that he needs to incorporate Alvin Kamara more. Will he ever be as prolific about throwing to a running back?
Like Drew.
Unlikely.
Yeah.
But you have to split the difference somewhere. You know, somewhere between what happened in Seattle and what happened against the Giants. You know,
right,
you
right.
had 10 receptions, and then you had none. Yeah, you know, so he should be averaging somewhere between 4 and 6 catches a game. And if he's not, then that's an issue that probably needs to be addressed.
Jeff, what do you make of the report that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is kind of limiting his own reps in practice because he wants a new contract?
Yeah, I'm not even sure what to call it. Is it a hold-in?
Right.
You know, if you're holding out, you don't show up. But
yeah, in today's NFL, Jeff, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but the way the CBA was worded in 2020, a holdout is no longer. It's a thing of the past. It's today's modern. What CeeDee Deuce is doing is the modern-day version of a holdout because you get fined $40,000 if you don't show up.
Yeah, and if you had practice, it doesn't matter if you're taking a rep or not. What are you talking about? I'm at practice. You know, whether am I participating? And then, Jeff, did CeeDee Deuce obviously set the tone. The first rep, you know, the fans are all excited to watch. He gets like, they go crazy. It's like a pick six. So he said, man, okay, I've done enough.
Well, it's an active
it's like that
holdout, Jeff. It's an active Seinfeld holdout skit. Is what I would call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that old Seinfeld skit where, you know, George tells a joke. He's like, that's it, I'm done, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's basically what CJ did. Yeah, I mean, he's in a contract year, yeah. And I mean, you know, we've heard from CJ. He thinks he's the top slot corner in the NFL. He's going to want top slot corner money, and it's going to be interesting to see how that develops. I feel like it's a healthier way to go about it than a holdout would be, where you kind of have this iced out nature between both sides, and you don't know what the communication is like. I mean, it has to be at least somewhat amicable if he's showing up at practice and, you know, talking to his coaches.
Yeah, he's in the meetings, so. He's there, he's pumping the guys up and all. So,
Jeff, do you have a good grasp on what top dollar for his position would be?
I'd have to look.
Okay.
I mean, it's tough to say because, again, you're not talking about the top outside corner. You're talking about the best slot corner, and I don't know how that's going to slot in as a safety versus a cornerback.
Or a hybrid player. Well, what is, Jeff, what is that, a hybrid? You know, when you think about, okay, all of a sudden you need a different category. Hybrid DB. Okay, what is that guy worth? 9, 10, 11 million? I mean, it's hard.
Well, it's also interesting because he's not a safety. I mean, he's a safety, but have we ever seen him play deep or strong safety? I'm not sure I can recall. Maybe in his rookie season, he's played pretty much exclusively nickel.
Right, right.
So it's an interesting scenario because it's a team with a bunch of safeties that play multiple positions, but he only plays nickel.
He's not deep middle.
He's really, yeah. really, really good at it. So it's tough. And you need a top end nickel corner in today's NFL. So I understand where he's coming from with, you know, he is a premium asset in today's NFL, and he wants to get paid like it.
Now, you know, Jeff, look at going to the defense, and obviously you look at Cam Jordan, and, you know, you never know what kind of start. You know, you get off a fast start or you finish strong down the stretch, but it's all about production. And you look at his remarkable finish in 2021. Cam recorded 8.5 sacks in his final 4 games.
After he got COVID, he was a monster.
Yeah, think about it. He maybe need a little rest. But when I read 8.5 sacks, final 4 games, and you know what that parlayed also? You know, the Saints finished 3-1 down the season. But you know what they only allowed? I can tell you right now, the Saints are going undefeated. Undefeated. You heard it right here if we only give up this many points. They allowed only 12.5 points a game. Shame on us if we'd ever lose the game. The last, the 3-1 finish gave up average 12.5 points a game. What? You should never lose. No,
that's domination.
That's domination.
People are out. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unless half the roster is out with COVID, that makes things a little more difficult. So that's where the one came from.
Right.
But yeah, I think Cam, I think it was fair to be concerned about Cam last year because he's always a guy who is a lot more active than the stats might show. You know, sacks are a terrible stat to grade what a defensive end is doing. You can impact a play. It's like you can get to the quarterback and completely shut down a play. The ball hits the ground. It's over. It's not a sack.
Right.
No one really talks about that stat, but it exists. And Cam is always a guy who plays the run really well. And you know, for a 4-3 team, your ends have to play the run, and he does. If he's gonna go against the NFC South every game, that's the thing. Is he really amps up against the NFC South?
And Matt Ryan, I mean, it's like we need to play the Colts. He would sack Matt Ryan for sure.
It really is too bad that Matt Ryan's not in the division because Cam's going to have to find someone else to bully.
Steve told me what Cam calls the Falcons. I can't remember but he's got a nickname for the Falcons.
He refers to them as the Dirt Pigeons.
Dirt Pigeons. Dirt Pigeons.
Yes, which I appreciate.
Dirt Pigeons. Falcates.
Jeff Nowak, Odyssey Sports. Purdue digital producer, Inside Black and Gold podcast, him and Steve Geller. Wherever you get your podcast, check them out. You guys are doing two a week or three, Jeff?
Two during the off season. Once the season starts, we'll start doing three, and we'll do kind of a post game, and then probably one on Wednesday, one on Friday, leading into the next week. So for now, it's two, but we will ratchet that up as the season ratchets itself up.
Jeff, good insight as always, man. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow at practice.
Thanks, Jeff.
For sure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.